For staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Now let's continue our conversation about the urgency of developing a COVID-19 vaccine. Joining us on the line now, we have Datuk Dr. Zulkifli Ismail, Executive Committee Member of the Malaysian Pediatric Association. Dr. Zulkifli, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Now, thank you for inviting me. The
government has announced that it is trying to ensure that Malaysia gets a first mover advantage when the COVID-19 vaccines are made available. Now, is Malaysia actually well placed to have vaccines available and accessible to all?
It depends on really on what you mean by well placed. Whether you're saying that the vaccine should be accessible to everybody, or whether that vaccine is going to be produced locally.
Do you think the vaccine will be produced locally?
I doubt it. Okay, let's look at the history of vaccines in the country. We've had, you know, the companies being set up before called the Nine Bio in the early 2000s, and that just collapsed without anything being done. There was the promise of coming up with halal vaccines from that company. Nothing has happened. So right now, I think there are two local companies that are actually starting to have to manufacture vaccines locally, and these they're working with other agencies, obviously from other countries. But the companies are Farmaniaga and AG Biologics. Now these companies are far from producing the basic vaccine. So even the basic vaccine, if you look at the production line and what's going to happen, we will probably see in 2024.
So 2024, you said?
That's 2024. The basic vaccine.
Dr. Zulkifli, if we could return to the coronavirus, the COVID-19 problem. I want to ask you, is the development of the vaccine, wherever it happens in the world, the end of our problems, or is it the start of a new set of problems in terms of the delivery and access and such? Could you talk us through what that might be like?
Yeah, that's going to be a bit hard to say at the moment, because we know that now everybody's looking at the vaccine, but if you look at the two previous coronaviruses that have surfaced in the world, SARS and MERS-CoV, both of those, the vaccine development was already in starting, and it was actually shelved because the outbreak actually died itself. Now, in this case, in the case of this disease, COVID-19 and the SARS-CoV-2, we have actually got an advantage, because in the first place, there were two reasons for this advantage. In the first place, China shared the genetic sequence with the whole world and with researchers in the world. And that allowed them to have a bit of time to actually start developing the vaccine, look at where to place the vaccine. And also, the experience with SARS and MERS-CoV before, this has given sort of a springboard, because although the vaccines never came out because the diseases died down, but we had the knowledge and the learnings from it to develop this new vaccine. At this point in time, all over the world, I was just looking up and asking friends in the other countries in the Asia-Pacific region, because I'm also the Secretary General of the Asia-Pacific Pediatric Association. Now, at this time, there are 41 candidate vaccines, COVID candidate vaccines in the world. And out of that, five are already on in human clinical trials. So I think we will get the vaccines out. And the earliest, as far as one of the companies that I've come across, Moderna Therapeutics, they would probably have the vaccine ready by the third quarter of 2020. But that's the earliest one. That's a United States one. Of course, we've got one, the ones from China, and we've got three companies in India that's actually making COVID vaccines now. Mm. Thailand's working on one. Their BioNet vaccine is being developed by Thailand, and it's a DNA vaccine. And then, and of course, China.
A fascinating landscape that you sketched there. We've got about 2 minutes left. I want to ask you when these vaccines come online and we can buy them, what then needs to happen? Do we have to give vaccines to everybody? And who will resist it? Because I know, as a pediatrician, you know there are people who resist vaccines.
Yeah. There will be people who will resist the vaccine. There will be people who will actually be a bit cautious about the vaccines, because these vaccines have been fast-tracked. And you have to remember, like the Moderna vaccine in the United States has skipped the animal studies. It's gone straight to human testing. So I think there will be a lot of doubts and a lot of people who will have fears about this vaccine, because it's not been tried, and we don't have enough of immunogenicity and reactogenicity studies, and we don't have enough of even the efficacy. We're still not very certain of whether it works or not. So I envisage that when we have it, there will be a bit of reluctance in the beginning, but there will have to be. And a high amount of monitoring of these vaccinees.
So does that mean that even if a vaccine is made available, that we might not see the end of this pandemic almost immediately?
That's hard to say. Because if you look at, as an echo, if you look at the previous coronavirus diseases, they actually died down on their own. So it's very hard to say, and it's very hard to predict what will happen with this disease. We know that everybody else knows that it's a very virulent virus, and it kills very fast. And the thing is, it spares somehow the children and the younger in the population. So now that's the fascinating thing about this disease.
Yes. Perhaps one that we will explore another night on another show. It is quite fascinating.
Sure.
But thank you so much for speaking with us tonight, Dr. Zulkifli. I appreciate your time. That is all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me, Sharad Kutan, signing off for this evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.